Okay, we're good. We'll take it.
Yeah,
we'll take it.
That was.
Say no more. Say no more.
Unexpected. Dennis, have you fished lately?
Yes. I believe I've sent you some shots. I had told you the story, probably even last episode, about the fish that swam toward the brush and the sticks and the trees and the river.
And I
got him in. Well, the other day I went up and it was going to push 65 degrees.
Ooh.
There was still some snow on the ground, and the river was a little deeper, but not much. And I went in the bright sunlight, I saw a few fish. And for the next 3.5 hours, I caught 5 little 12-inch fish. You know, I call shakers.
Yeah.
You get them on, you just shake them off. But I take a picture. They're gorgeous. They're really gorgeous. I mean, 11 inches is a good size for a little one. So it fills your hand easy enough.
Yeah.
And the colors of the brown trout and the rainbow is what I caught. And it was kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, they hit the little eggs. They ran up and down the stream, and I reeled them in, no net, blah, blah, blah. Took a picture, whatever. Or didn't take a picture most of the time. And, no, I had a net.
Huh.
And so I thought, well, it's 1:30. I've been here for quite a while, or 2 hours up, 2 hours back. I'd fish at least 4 hours. No hurry. I'm going to go back to the holes I fished already, but I'm going to change all my gear and fish with different flies and different lines and try a couple different things, which I did. And just as I decided that, the sun disappeared behind a cloud cover.
Oh, no.
That turned everything gray and cloudy. And in the
what
warmth...
What the cloud?
Almost mushy, humid. But no bright sun. All of a sudden, in a hole that I had fished that I hadn't caught any fish previously, in the next hour, I hooked at least 7 fish.
Whoa.
Including 2 steelhead, one of which I played up into the bank, away from the sticks, got him on. He comes toward me, spins around and runs in the other direction. So a loose line and then a snap.
Yes.
And he's gone. Now, I got on one fly, I think.
7 fish per hour, FPH.
Well, although average out from 9 o'clock, that was 1:30. So from 9 to 1:30, nothing of any size. Then I lost the steelhead, a couple of them. Then I had some on that I think I might have hooked pulling up. But they were there. They were on. Zoom, 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 zoom. And then break, zoom, or loose.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Boom, zoom. Boom, boom. And then I hooked into a fish that I thought, oh, this is a small steely. And in fact, it was what I would call a fairly large brown, which was 16 inches. I sent you a picture of that. That's about yay big.
Large brown.
Real pretty fish. If you bring a close-up of that so that all you see is the color on the skin, and that's it, you print that and hang it somewhere, and no one will
ever
figure out what the fuck it is. Or you have.
Yes, it's my wallpaper for...
Really? Yeah. It's fish scales?
Yeah. It's entirely.
it's not weird enough that it couldn't be true because it's you who's talking.
Well, I mean...
But objectively, that's a little weird. But
look, I love my scales.
It's off the scales, actually.
It's scalar.
It's where you reside.
Yes.
So, here's the story.
Here's the story. Finally.
I catch that 16-inch brown, which I showed you a picture of. I fish another little while, and I put on another fly because I'm going to move upstream a little bit. And then I think, so now I got 2 flies. I got a fly at the end of my line, and then I tie a little line onto that, 8 inches long. I tie another tiny fly on it, and I started to go upstream.
I have a question.
Yep.
When fishermen are there in the stream, do they ever say, hey, Your fly's down. Yeah? No? No.
I had, this is no shit, you know those fucking mounted bass
that
are on a plaque, yeah, and you push a button and they sing at
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they even turn their head and they sing Mac the Knife or whatever. Well, just like that, one of those steelhead came out of the water and said real fast, your fly's down, and then he jumped back in the water. So it's funny that you should say
I'm
that.
I'm just saying, like, that seems...
It happened. Of course, I hadn't had any water, and I was feeling a little delirious at the time. But anyway, well, I decided to say, I'll throw this extra fly in there, you know, this with the other fly. And I ended up hooking another steelhead. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Anyway, tried, went upstream, went to my honey hole where, you know, the whole story, all the pictures.
Honey hole.
Fish, honey hole. Fish, nothing. Change up a little bit and say, well, I've got one big hole left, the one where I caught the big fish.
The last hole.
And so I'm gonna try that. I'm gonna go home. It's you know,
it's late.
3:30.
It's late.
I've been fishing since 9:30. So I trope up the stream, get to this cottage where this nasty man lives, and where there's usually one or two fish, and I look at the stream in 8 inches of water, there's eight steelhead that are 25, 30 inches long, 8, 9, 10 pounds.
Damn.
Right where you can see them stacked up. I fished, spooked them, fish. I walk upstream. There's four more. Between those two holes, I hook three steelhead on and off, you know, on and up to say I played it, but quicker than I like. Broken, and, you know, by that time, I had tied on I think I went with a four-pound test. But
four-pound test.
With two flies. But anyway, I broke that off, and I said, all right, well, these fish are too shallow. I went down. I saw this other one in the water. Threw in twice. Hooked him. He jumped out of the fucking water. Ran against the shore right into the logs and broke off.
Yeah.
And I go, all right. He didn't come back. So I go to my last hole, and I look, and under this deep, dark, black water, there is above it, behind it, a shaded evergreen tree with branches that cover over the water, which further shades the area,
right,
which is already deep enough to be dark. And I see right underneath that tree where that dark part ends, and instead there's gravel, there's two 30-inch male steelhead with a female steelhead in between her spawning. Shaking,
spawning
the gravel and making dust.
Sexy.
And I thought, well, I don't want to catch her, but I want to catch them. And I drifted through, and after about the third drip, very
wait. Why are you so anti?
Because they're spawning and they're going to lay eggs, and I want them to do that.
Okay.
I want them to do all their spawning because that's propagation.
Okay, fine. I just thought you were sexist there for a moment.
Because it's laying eggs?
Well, I mean, that...
Because it's laying eggs? Listen,
that's what we're going to do, man.
The brown trout hang on right behind that nest, what is called the nest, because they're nesting, they're spawning. Sure. They hang behind that nest, right behind them, two, three of them. They're about yay big, 16, even 18 inches. Those brown trout, when they open their mouth and breathe in the water, you can see the white of the inside of their mouth. And what they do is they feed on the eggs that are coming, dropping out of the nest. So if you fly, if you drift an egg at that part where that brown trout is, that's how you catch the brown trout.
Huh.
So I go to this hole and I see this fish. And I drift in. It looks like a hook is near its head. It's about to move. And I set the hook, and I get him.
Yeah.
And he goes down in the deep water and goes, oh, God, I got him. And then he broke off.
Ugh.
And I said, all right. So I got out. I went to cast. I got it tangled up in a tree behind me. Pulled the tree down, untangled it fine. Pulled the tree, the branches down lower so I could unhook all the shit all tangled up, which I recovered all day. Six, maybe eight times getting stuff out of trees.
Nice.
I think I did it twice in a row. Was ready to give up and said, you know, I'm going to throw a new fly on, a new drop fly, they call it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try this again. It's time to go home. It's time to go home. I don't want to walk away and then say, oh, maybe I should have done that. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
So I tied it on, drifted in the hole where the fish that I had hooked moved to because he said, fuck that, I'm going to go hide. Went in the deepest water.
Of course.
Right? I got to the bottom of that hole with my fly drifting by, and I noticed, of course, imperceptibly almost, that the line stopped drifting.
Oh.
The reason the line stopped drifting... Ooh. Was because the fish breathed in the fly and stopped the line, and if I set the hook, that's how I'm going to catch a fish. They don't strike it. They don't like rah, go after it like a bass and jump out of the water trying to get it. They breathe it in, and the shit, if it's a stone, they breathe it out. If it's a piece of shit, they breathe it out. It's good to breathe it in. Unlike you couldn't do it if you were a fish because you're all fucking clogged
up. No.
It's pretty obvious. But anyway, there's the fish. So, Eric.
Yes.
I got this fish on, and he is a beast. And he's in that deep hole, and I'm going back and forth with him. Back and forth, back and forth. And then he goes near the tree that's like almost in the water, jumps out of the water, and I realize that it's probably the biggest steelhead I've ever hooked into.
Yes.
Landed in the water and went like crazy toward the trees. And luckily I had the drag set right. So went toward the trees, brought him in. Went toward the trees, brought him in. Went in the deep hole. Back and forth, back and forth. Went toward the trees, brought him in. Back and forth. I'm going to tire off the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Try it out.
Or he's going to tire you out, motherfucker.
Watch what happens. I get to the point when I'm just in front of the hole where the deep water is right there.
Right there by the
and
hole.
And I've got a pole in my left arm above my head.
Oh, no.
The pole's 9 feet long.
Yeah.
At the tip of the pole, there's 9 feet of leader. From that, there's a weight, and then there's 4 feet of leader. So now we're looking 13 feet long, and then at the bottom of that fly, another half a foot. Almost 14 foot of line, so when my pole is in the air, there's 14 feet of line with a fish on it, and I couldn't get it near the net. I wasn't strong enough to pull it back. I think I get it, and I realize I got it, instead of just the fly line reeling in, I got to reel in the leader, which is a different kind of line and a little frightening to reel it in, which I did. And at one point, I've got this net at the jaw of the biggest steelhead I've ever caught, and the net is kind of bouncing under the front of his jaw. He's tired as shit. I just can't get it. So I get the net out of the way. I'm holding him taut. This fish decides that my legs represent shelter, and he darts in between my legs, which is above the knee deep in water.
Yes.
Takes the front of my pole and my line taut down in between my legs.
Ooh.
And that fish is stuck there, line, fish, pole, in between my legs. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm going to lose this fish. He's all tangled up. And I did a pirouette and lifted my one leg over the line in the pole, got myself square with the fish, and the fish went downstream like a bat out of hell right toward the fucking logs. I said, oh my God, I can't control him. He's gone crazy. And I said, fuck it, I'm coming at you. So I reeled in and started running toward the fish. Was able, because I was running toward him and reeling in very fast, keeping the line taut, that I could pull him away from the sticks into a current that was fast, but only about knee deep. And I knew it well, and I knew I could run it. And I ran like holy hell with reeling in, getting close to the fish, knowing that up ahead was a place I could land the fish because it was shallow. This fish is going to be tired. got it up, I swear to God, got him in, got him close, got him in, couldn't get him. He went under my motherfucking legs again. Yeah. I pirouetted again. And by this time, I said, fuck this, I got to get him. I cranked all the way in so that all that was left was that real light 4 foot of line.
Sure.
And the bottom one. And I knew that that fly I had tied on had hooked him exactly in the jaw. And as it turns out, there's more to the netting, but as it turns out, that hook was in his bone of his jaw all the way through it, that in order to get it out, I had to take a pair of hemostats and straighten out the hook and pull it out. It was like a dentist drilling a hole in bone and inserting a hook and then bending the hook. There was no way, but it was only on this 4 pound test. And it was a 10 pound fish. But here, back to the netting, I crank in that line, and every time where the tie is between the fly line and the leader, there's a knot and it clicks on the guide of your pole. Click, click, click. There's like, you know, several of them.
Okay.
Five of them. And then I got it close enough where, and remember, when the fish was under my legs both times,
yep.
I got the fish from the tail inward under my legs into the net. But he was so big that his heavy fucking lopsided head and the upper part of his body was no way going to get controlled by the back of his body. But I had him, you know, like halfway netted. And so this time I got it. And the fish was like exhausted, but still ready to run, I'm sure. Got it. And finally got it under his head and plunged. Put my pole in the crutch of my hand and netted two-handed and got him up. This motherfucker was so heavy, and I was so tired, that when I stumbled over to the bank through the water to throw him up on the bank to hook him and get the picture, I couldn't throw him up on the bank the first time.
Wow.
It was too fucking heavy. I said, oh, God. Oh, no. You know, and then out. And then he bounced out of the net. But the picture I sent you of him, if you look in his head, you'll see the bright orange fly. And if you look closely, you'll see how it's, as I said, embedded. So a quick picture and resuscitation. He was frisky and lived to fight
frisky
another day, and didn't have a mark on him except for his fucking jaw.
Damn. That's
biggest I ever caught. 30 inches.
That's a story.
10 pounds. I had caught the biggest steelhead ever the week before. I told you the story. And if you had said to me, hey, how would you feel if it turns out that that's the biggest steelhead you ever caught? I said, oh, man, it suits me. That's a big steelhead. Oh, yeah? I beat my own record.
Well, how would you feel if I told you that, like, this next week you're going to even do better? What would you think?
Well, here's the truth of the matter.
I don't want the truth.
Two things.
I want the story.
Oh, the story is this. If the temperature of the water warms up, it should shall over the next 4 days.
Yes.
And because it needs a little rain to get some depth,
yep,
and some color, we're having both between now and Monday, and I'm meeting my old but new buddy to
old but new
fish, the PM, the Pierre Marquette, the fly-only zone, and the fish should be running. By the afternoon, Eric, there were 25 or 30 more fish in this stretch of river.
Wow.
Because the water had warmed up and they swam up from the lake in a matter of hours. They're so fucking big.
Nice.
So big. You could hold onto their tail and bring you through the water like, you know, like fucking, you know, like a shark cartoon or something, you know, where,
like, what
you're, like, you know, hanging out of the tail of the fish is taking you through the water.
There's like this,
you
there's
know?
This big man. Yeah, cool. Okay, so next week we will not be having a call because, well, boy, I'm tempted to actually try and do
from Greece,
a call from Prague, the Czech Republic.
Well, that's when 13th.
That's next week. Yeah,
13.
Yeah, and it... So... So my company was like, hey, let's all have a company like get together in Prague. We will fly you out on Monday and fly you in on Monday and fly you out on Friday. So I guess that's really only 3 days of being
four nights together. 3 days.
And so I was like, well, that seems dumb to go to a cool European city only for that time. So I decided, I'm gonna go for the weekend before, and and stay for even another day after. I'm gonna fly back on the Saturday. So that was great until. 2 days ago, I got an email from Lufthansa saying that our like luggage handlers are on strike, and so your flight is canceled. So I was gonna fly on Friday, like in 2 days. And they were like, "No, your first flight is canceled."
That's pretty quick turnaround.
And so I have been on the phone with them today and yesterday and today, being like, so what else can I do? And there's this, I have this, I'm concerned that I've heard stories of if you book a round trip ticket and you don't get on the first flight, then the return flight is like they won't let you on. It's like it's canceled or whatever. And I don't know if that's how true that is.
Because they're linked
somehow, yeah. But like,
because it's a round trip ticket,
right? Exactly. But so I don't know. Like only my first of four flights has been canceled, so. If I redo the first two flights, am I going to be able to have a return flight? I don't know. So, anyway, I'm kind of up in the air on that, no pun intended. And I will be, I have to reschedule shit, which sucks. But anyway, I'm looking forward to being in Prague.
Prague. I'm going to Prague. I hope I see you upon my return. Let's meet at the library as usual.
Yes, it is the Republic of Czech. They will
Czech. So you know, back in the day, the town of Makula was in Poland, and then after invasions, it became Czechoslovakia.
Okay,
and I'm not clear where it sits now, whether in the Czech Republic or in is it Slovenia?
I mean, or that is a place. Mokula. How do you spell that?
Mikula.
Mikula. That looks like it's in Romania.
That's a little far afield.
Well, I mean, it's the same general area: Slovakia, Hungary, Romania,
yeah, right,
Moldova.
Right, Well, at any rate,
yeah. So, but, my plan is to visit there, and my goddamn my fucking cat.
Is that your cat?
My cat's running all over the fucking apartment.
Sounds like it's running all over your guitars.
It's running everywhere. So my plan is to enjoy all the food and whatnot that they have there.
How else can you get there? That's it, right?
No, I'm going to fly. It's just not this particular airline.
Oh, yeah, right. Which, yeah.
So,
So, well, anyway, you got your money back, or you will. I mean,
and the crazy thing is, it's not even my money. It's like, it's because it's a work trip. God damn it, cat! What the fuck? Like my employer has told me, look, just book another flight and we'll pay for that, or whatever. Right. It's just like,
we'll work it out later.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I guess I'll do that. So anyway, tomorrow that's my primary mission.
Well, that's going to be a blast, man. That is going to be a blast.
And apparently, that's where they invented the concept of Pilsner beer. And my wife has been to Prague like 20 years ago, and the only thing she remembers is how amazing the dark beer was. So
there's our mission. So the Pilsner was dark?
No, I think Pilsner is never dark. But
right, that's but, what I thought.
But they also like they have like three or four different beers that are like from there. So
right. Including a dark ale.
So I will report back, and potentially I might be available at this time to record. So we will.
Well,
keep you.
We'll play it by ear. It's on the calendar.
I will keep you on the ear.
Sure. Keep me posted, so to speak. So, hey,
yes.
hey, from the politics desk.
Yes, Nikki.
Listen, man, Super Tuesday, baby, it's over. And here's the big headline.
Super Tuesday.
Trump wins, but in many states loses 30% or more of the vote.
What?
Joe Biden, on the other hand, only had two places in the entire Super Tuesday that he didn't have better than 70%. Trump had trouble. He only had, in all of his wins, he never broke 70%, and he is running as an incumbent. This issue is large enough that guess who brings it up on Fox? None other than Karl Rove, who holds up a whiteboard and says, Ruby, look at these states and these percentages, 23 in Virginia, that to 38, 45. She wins Rhode Island, or Vermont, I should say. She wins Vermont outright. And he says, Trump needs to be concerned about these numbers. If these people don't vote for him, he won't win the presidency. And Biden's numbers, on the other hand, are much, much, much better. And guess what happens? I think it's tomorrow night, man. The State of the Union, where Biden sets out to prove himself a vigorous 81-year-old who's in command.
Yes.
And the last time he did this, he was so fantastic that when one of the Republicans like were raising shit, like almost booing him or whatever.
Right.
And he looked at him. He looked right at him, and he said, "What? You're acting like that didn't happen? Do your research. It happened." And they still make noise. And he said, "So what are you telling me? That it's not true?" And he had them.
Yes.
And he said, "Well, I guess you're willing to join me right now." He negotiated
yes,
an
this.
Agreement on this, right? Right? And I'm sure that later it fell through, or whatever. But that's the kind of shit that he should be using now. They should, not that they want to show last year's speech. He'll rely on this year's speech. But shit, man, in some states, there were 19-20% of the votes for uncommitted, which is the protests against Gaza, Israeli war. And you know, in some states, it's 3 or 4% more than it used to be. In other places, it skyrocketed. He had, Jesus Christ, better than 20% uncommitted out of Minnesota. And people just think that, you know, and he's so fucking old. And what they ought to do is, he ought to be looking at the camera and say, yeah, I'm old. I'm old.
And wise as fuck.
Is that your cat?
What?
Did you hear it?
I have a cat and he meows. Yes.
Did it? Was it just meowing, or is there a baby downstairs at my house?
No, I mean, yeah, but Yeah, so...
What?
Yeah, Biden is old as fuck, and it's just like...
Just look at the camera and say, I'm old. You know what that means? I know how to handle this stuff. I know everybody. I know these people. I've been through this.
Yeah, but...
I'm...
God...
And he's just got to be clear.
That, and that's challenging, because, you know...
Not when it's taped. It ain't challenging by the time you get to take 12.
Yeah, but, God.
They could do an AI and nobody would know. I like the one, did you send me the one of him dancing? All the leaders dancing? Is that you? You, it was you.
That, you mean from like...
All the leaders like of the world dancing this... Oh, no, it wasn't a year ago. It was months ago. It was not a year ago.
No. No, I don't think...
A year ago.
A year ago. That's like, whatever.
Oh, posh.
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 Posh bagosh. Yes.
Posh
bagosh.
Oshkosh bagosh. Remember those?
Yeah.
Overalls? It's
like, Biden is so... Like... He doesn't fill...
Feeble appearing.
He doesn't feel... He doesn't fill anyone with...
Enthusiasm.
Like, it's just like...
Vigor.
Oh, fuck. It's this old fucker. Fine. Like I was in a brief debate with a local friend in Spain the other day, where he was like, I mean, Trump is the worst, but Jesus Christ, Biden is... just like it's like your sad old grandpa that you want to
64% of the voting public believes that both candidates are too old to run, and nonetheless they are running. And so this is important, because now it's not about, you know, primaries and this and that, because Trump is, he's got to win one more state. He's got four coming up within a week. Haley apparently dropped out today. I've recorded it, so I haven't seen it yet. She will not. I'm certain she will not be endorsing Trump today. I'm not altogether certain she will ever endorse Trump. But the pressure on her within what is in, what is now the MAGA Republican Party, or they could disown her, that would hurt her in 4 years. She's got to figure out a way to get to. But
okay, so-
she's already said.
So, do you agree that you were wrong before when you said that neither Trump nor Biden would be the nominee?
No. No, I'm not ready to say that. Why would I do that months early? Convention's not till July. Don't you know about the fucking magic cheeseburger fucking scenario?
Tell me about the magic cheeseburger fucking scenario.
What? They each eat a magic cheeseburger.
That's the title for the episode.
Choke to death.
What?
They each eat a magic cheeseburger, they both die. Separate. It happens to be the same day on the campaign trail. You know, whatever. It's a magic. It could happen.
And
tell me, it couldn't
and
happen.
And then, who do we have? Let's.
You have two conventions.
You know,
you have two conventions. Each of the two conventions has attending the conventions the delegates.
Yes.
Almost all the delegates are committed to somebody who's dead. And as a result, the convention is all about where do they go. And if they're pissed at Nikki Haley because she refused to endorse the dead Trump before he died, they won't go to her. They'll go to fucking Tim Scott, you know, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, or who the hell knows. But at the convention, you can be nominated by acclamation. You know, these primaries in the convention is to say, we're going to respect the primary, blah, blah, blah. And if somebody says, I make a motion that Ted Kennedy become the nominee of the Democratic Party against Jimmy Carter, they have to debate it. And then the fun begins.
What a crazy chapter in history that would be. Like already, they are both the oldest people ever to run for president.
As John Stewart pointed out, that they actually beat
yes.
the oldest record, which
was the,
they beat 4 years ago.
With the same two assholes last
year. The John Stewart stuff you're sending me is so
yes.
riveting. He is...
He's so fucking
he
good.
He is a funny, funny man. He does more with a facial expression than most comedians can do with, you know, with gag lines.
He's,
you know,
he's so much just, better than literally everyone else that tries to do that. Like, yeah. John Oliver is amazing, but he's no John Stewart, and he never will be.
No. And well, he's his own man in a way.
Totally different.
There's no comparison.
Yes.
There's really no comparison.
Right, but
in terms of funny,
yeah.
Or John Stewart is funny almost the whole time he broadcasts.
Yes.
He has a moment here and there of serious talk. John Oliver talks a mile a minute and throws in hilarious things, but he's got a lot of science going on his show.
Yeah.
Stewart is just funny, funny, funny.
Yes.
He's just funny.
I will put that in the latest in the show.
He says, you know, and of course there's a lot of, you know, name calling going on and immigrants and whatnot, but here's a new one. And he shows a Trump clip saying, Hannibal Lecter. You know who he is. That's who they're sending over. And then he shows a picture of Hannibal Lecter, and Jon Stewart looks at the camera funny and says, but don't we want somebody to eat them?
Yeah. No. Wouldn't it fix the problem if there were cannibals among them? so good.
Oh, that's exactly what he said. Cannibals among them. You're right.
It's very, 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 very good.
Lord.
So this whole idea of what if your death cheeseburger or whatever scenario.
Magic cheeseburger scenario.
Super, that's the title for this, for sure.
It's not my idea.
Man, what?
I just subscribed to it, man.
So, God, if both of them were taken out.
No.
Man, what a...
No, there's no... I'm not suggesting anything nefarious.
No.
These are both old men.
No.
The fact that they have a high risk of both choking, each of them choking on a big old greasy cheeseburger...
On the same day.
This... No. Same out. It'll be investigated. It's going to be equivalent to JFK's assassination.
Yeah.
In terms of how this guy...
Exactly.
There'll be a commission.
The grassy knoll or whatever.
that would be the Warren Commission. Sorry. So how old were you in 1963?
I was negative 15.
Negative 15. And so you were the fellow who sent me the
I did.
Crazy, crazy Stephen King book.
I did.
Of a guy who goes back in time through a hole in time,
yes.
Which happens to be
in the diner,
in the back room of a little grocery store, which you can only imagine what that closet looks like, and goes back in time and spies and investigates Oswald and to check it all out, how it all happened.
I want to read that again now. That's so
with spoiler, the conclusion, which I found abhorrent, that it was actually Lee Harvey Oswald. And Stephen King's belief in that was actually a big fucking surprise for me. I never thought at the end of, I don't know. It was a big book, big, thick, 600 some pages, I think, wasn't it?
It was 400. It was a big book, yeah.
So you didn't know. I mean, it's the way he writes. But it pissed me off. And I couldn't tell you that I didn't enjoy the book. I read every fucking page of it.
So, but how... I mean, this is one of the classic conspiracy theories. And, man, yeah, there were a lot of motives to get him out of the way. But, yeah, I don't know. It boils down to Occam's razor to me with, like, it's like the simplest explanation is probably the right one.
And the simplest explanation, he was assassinated by a country people unknown. That's the simplest explanation, because nothing about the Oswald. There's facts. There's findings there that you can't ignore. And so while you may have to, hypothesize who, whether it's the Cubans or, whether it's the CIA itself or whether it's the right wing fucking Nicaraguans. I mean, who the fuck knows?
Nicaraguans.
But at the end of the day, that doesn't matter, because this, according to Occam's razor,
Occam.
The idea Occam. That he was assassinated by persons or people unknown. That's the simplest explanation. There's not a question here. You're shrugging your shoulders. You're sighing. You got simple. All this. Simple. Keep it simple, Sally. I don't want to call you stupid. It would be nasty. It'd be nasty to just out and out say it.
But you're familiar with the keep it simple, stupid, KISS,
of course,
strategy.
KISS principle.
Yes. Very good.
Yeah, there's another one similar to that. It's a great from the political heyday of Bill Clinton and Louisiana Cajun, who put a sign up on his above Clinton's desk that said, "It's about the economy, stupid."
Yes.
The Raging Cajun.
I swear you've quoted that from different people over the years.
But. Oh, I have not. We've got a record of this stuff.
Well,
you know, do your research. It's what you get paid for. I told my better half today. I said that I wrote you and said I wanted to go early, and you didn't even take the time to respond. And I muttered under my breath and I said, I don't know why I pay him to do this. And she said, "What did you say?"
Exactly.
I said, "I don't know why I pay him. He gets all the money.
Yes, all the money
from doing this.
All the money."
And she says, "What are you saying?" And I said, "Yeah, it's probably about 46 cents a month,
thousands,
on average.
Thousands of yes,
46 cents per month on average, because we had that one donor who."
Yeah.
You know, $5.29. Whatever happened to Stanley, who was driving back and forth from Kansas to Chicago, was it? Or Kalamazoo to Kansas?
No, it was definitely.
Remember him?
It was Kansas City, for
remember
sure.
Remember
him? And, yeah, Stanley.
Poor bastard. He was in recurring episodes.
Well,
listening to the radio in his car, and we were on it. And yet we were driving. He was driving the car. I don't know.
I can't remember. It was a pickup truck, I think. Let's be honest.
Oh yeah. Well, no, I don't know. I picture an older car with a back seat myself.
Like a Subaru.
An older car, Subaru. Well, I suppose to you, Subaru would be older, but no, I'm thinking earlier. I had a cross country ride with a dude in a. Like a 1936 Cadillac with big old bulby fenders, you know, in the front and the back. And this car was completely restored. And we cross country, somewhere in the west of Louisiana all the way to California, he was going. And he heard a different sound in the car and pulled over. And did a little checking, and he said, the radiator is going to go. I'm just going to go ahead and replace it. And he stopped at a, he was at a parts store, and he went over and he bought a radiator. And for the next hour and a half, he took the whole front end of the car off, the grill and the this and that. Got the radiator, replaced the radiator, put the tubes back in, put it all back together again. And an hour and a half, we were on our way. And this little, I remember this neat little tool kit. I remember kind of a canvas bag rather than anything, you know, metal. And he was meticulous.
Well,
he drove, and I don't think I ever, I don't think he ever let me drive it. I might not have had a license. I had my license revoked. I was put in jail for, I mean, they thought I was, they put my buddy in jail, but they, he gave them my ID. So
fucking buddy,
he was in jail under my name, and we skipped bail, and I had my license revoked for 2 years, and it wasn't me.
I had questions.
I was a passenger when we got pulled over. He just grabbed my wallet and handed him, and even though we didn't look that much alike, they booked him as me.
Okay,
it was pretty unfair, but
what was the charge?
Drunk driving. He was driving.
Drunk.
Yeah.
And okay. And you were in jail for how long?
I was never in jail. He was in jail under my identity for overnight.
Okay. Here's a question. Have you? Have you hitchhiked, and what was that like? And also, have you picked up a hitchhiker?
I hitchhiked all over the country for years. I went from New York to Florida, Florida to Louisiana, Louisiana to California, all through there.
Damn,
northern.
That's literally the whole country. Yes.
Back over to the Rockies and up into Oregon, where I worked, and then to Washington. I lived in the border, Canadian border. Then I hitchhiked from there all the way back to New York, and then after a while, I went back down to Florida, went back over to New Orleans, ended up in the mountains, and my buddy left in the middle of the fucking Big Sur, and I ended up in Oregon, where I ended up staying.
So
I gotta tell you, I got this, these people pick me up hitchhiking, and they say, "You have a place to stay?" I say, "No." They say, "Well, we're cool. Why don't you stay at our house?" And I slept on the couch. They were in this little shacky little house, you know.
Yeah.
And woke up the next day, and we had a great time. We liked each other, you know, and there was music, and he played, and I, you know, I sang and shit like this. But we got to know each other a little bit. And the next day, the woman, remember her name later, Teresa, maybe Louisa, she said, you know, we've got a shed out back. If you want to clean it up, and you can stay out there, because it was, you know, it was the warmer weather in the rainy season.
Yeah.
And sure enough, there was a tin covered shed big enough for it was pretty big, like a workshop. And I moved all the heavy equipment out of it, put up these curtains that I made out of fucking blankets and shit, and made a bed and a table, and ended up living back there in their shed.
For how long? Couple of months?
Weeks and weeks, you know, not months, maybe a month, maybe less than a month, but I was looking for work. So what I'd do is I'd get up every day and I'd go to the docks, and I'd, or to the restaurants at the docks is really where I would go, because that's where all the fishermen were. And I'd walk up and down the cafe tables and chairs and shit, and ask every captain who was at a table if he needed a puller. And the puller is the name that you give the guy who pulls a fish in, the back of the boat with a gaff. And all the time, every day, weekend after week after week, they said no. And one day I ran into a guy and he said, well, actually, I do. When are you available? I said, I got all my stuff with me. He said, all right, meet me down at the dock. The name of my boat is this and that. And, you know, typical rate, I didn't ask the rate, typical rate was 10%. So 10-pound fish, buck a pound. He gets $9, I get $1. And I get on this boat that his name is Dick. And he's out with it. There's another boat that he's a partner with, because you always go out in boats in at least pairs, if not threes,
okay,
for safety reasons, etc. And he had a comrade he went with, and they kept in radio contact, and each were looking for fish and giving, you know, this and that. And I worked for him for a long time. But that shed, right, was where I was until I literally jumped on the boat, and there was nothing left in that shed. But because every morning I went down there, I packed all my stuff.
Right.
I may not come back. I hope I don't.
Wow.
And I quit that guy after a while. His fucking engine blew up, and the cocksucker left me there with very little food, no income.
Cocksucker.
Although because we were enlisted in the United States Maritime Naval Fleet, I actually had access to medical care, which was necessary because I was hospitalized once. I was trying to get out of the boat, and the level of the dock was low, and in order to get up, I had to boost myself with one hand on the dock and one hand on the top of the boat, standing on the ridge of the boat up high enough that this was just like a 1 foot leap upwards. And as I did, the boat went down from a wave and it turned my left shoulder all the way around. And I landed on the deck of the boat with my shoulder completely out of place. And it did not hurt. It was just fucking weird. And as soon as I got up, I had to wrench it a bit. It fucking went back in.
Okay.
I climbed up gingerly at the top, and I thought, you know, it doesn't really hurt that much. And then suddenly, as I started walking...
But I needed a doctor.
Oh, my God. And I walked right to the, you know, urgent care, got myself all wrapped up and shit, had to get back in the boat, had to wait till high tide. I probably hung out at a bar for a while. I had some money. But anyway, I ended up quitting him.
Jesus.
And there was a boat I wanted to fish because it was well known for catching 100 fish a day. And the name of the boat was the Earl Grey. And the skipper was the son of the guy who founded the boat and named the boat, his dad.
Yeah.
And they lived in eastern Oregon, over the mountains and in farmland. And he was the skipper of great proportion, but he was a college-looking dude. Blonde hair, you know, like almost tennis-playing clothes, gym shoes,
sure,
nothing fisherman-y about him. He fucking knew the waters, the ocean. This motherfucker knew it all. And sure enough, we averaged 100 fish every day. That's $1,000 for him and fucking $100 for me. This is 40, 50 years ago.
Yeah.
$100 is, it'd be $600, $700.
Yeah.
You know, today. But anyway, my story is that I had to get off this other boat and said this guy was never going to come back. He was like, he gave up. And I'm like, well, fuck you. So I went down to the dock. I saw the Earl Grey, and the guy's cleaning up at 6 in the morning. Every day I'm there. He's just getting there. I think his name was Robert. He's just getting there, and he's running the boat. He's getting ready to leave in 3 days or so, but I don't know when he's going to leave. He looks like he could leave right then because the boat's going. He's tacking his lines. But what he's doing, he's getting ready for a voyage. He's getting ready to run down the coast. Every day I go, I say, need a puller? He says, no, I'm all set. Second time, hey, you need a puller? Nope, I'm all set. Third time, hey, you need a puller? No, I'm all set. I said, if you're all set, where is he?
Ooh.
He said, he'll be here.
Good.
He said, he'll be here.
Good play.
I said, I'll be here every morning in case he's not.
Fucking A. Take that, Bobby.
Next time, next time. Finally, I get down there, and it is the day he's leaving, and he looks like he's leaving, and the engine just isn't purring. It's stirring shit up. He's ready to take the lines off and get the fuck out of town. And I said, hey, you need a puller? He said, I sure do. Jump aboard.
Yes.
And I got on board.
Dennis the puller.
Persistence pays off. One of my first trips out, he teaches me all the shit. I've told you the stories of the big heavy weights and how the lines populate the water at three different levels and how they run up and down on gurneys. Well, one of my jobs is that when there is a rip or a current in the ocean, you have to notice it by looking at a difference in the color in the water or even a difference in wave pattern in the water, because the ocean is full of currents. Warmer water, colder water, whatever. Sure. And you've got to make sure that if there's a current that's going to go crossways with you, you tell the skipper to turn into it and go upstream of it.
Okay.
So that all your lures kind of go away from it or get in front of it, either way. And so that's my job. And one time I didn't do it.
Oops.
And all the fucking shit got tangled up.
Oh, no.
He had to cut fucking 60 plugs. Each plug's money. Ching-a-ching, ching-a-ching. He said to me, he said, look, these mistakes happen. This one's on me. Everything else from this point forward is on you. Are we clear? I said, we're clear.
Yes.
I never did it again. Never had the problem. So.
Good.
Anyway, that all started with the shed.
I was going to ask about
that oily, gassy smell of the shit.
We'll get to that another time because.
Well, I will tell you this though.
Other stories.
One hitchhiking story. Stop me if you've heard it before. Where?
Okay, stop.
I'm in Oklahoma.
I'm sorry. Continue.
Or I'm in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
And get picked up by a state trooper. And he puts me in the back of the car. He asks me all these questions. I answer all the questions. Who I am, blah, 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 where I'm born. Height, weights, filling out all these forms.
Yeah.
I'm very polite. Got my bag. I'm actually a little hot.
No. And,
yeah.
And, don't believe it.
And I said, so, officer, I wasn't aware that it was illegal to hitchhike in Oklahoma. I was not aware of that. He said, oh. He looked over his shoulder and said, oh. Oh, it ain't. It's not illegal to hitchhike. That's not why I picked you up. I said, oh. And he said, yeah, the thing is one of these guys, like he was hitchhiking out here, and the guy who killed him cut him up in so many pieces, it took us forever to identify him. So now we make sure we know who's out there. So when and if that happens, it won't be so hard on us.
That's fantastic.
But you can go now. Thank you.
Wow. We just want to get, yeah, so we can identify the pieces of body later.
I had an event in the Rocky regions.
I had an event.
Where I was overtired in a semi-tractor trailer. It veered off the road and literally missed my nose by 2 inches. And I got all, like, shaky and shit, you know, because
sure.
It was the wind blew me down. And I said, fuck it, it's time to go to bed. I climbed over the railing, went down a little hill. It was grassy, it was kind of warm. And I did what I do. I lay down a tarp that's in my backpack. I take out a bag. I lay on the sleeping bag. I take a bigger tarp. I put that over the top of me so I'm a fucking, you know, I'm up in between two tarps. No tent. I just boost up so I can breathe well enough, and it's warm in there. And middle of the night, I hear this... In this padding.
Yes.
And I freeze awake, and I realize I am, in fact, a human fucking tarp burrito. And there is a beast that I picture as a fucking Steppenwolf. Something from fucking Game of Thrones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was you. It was decades before Game of Thrones.
Sure.
And as it turns out, I lay there still, went away. And the next morning, there were fucking cougar tracks all over the fucking place. All over the fucking place.
How?
And I did exactly what I was supposed to do. I didn't move a muscle.
Shut the fuck up and be asleep, yeah. Or dead. How are you still here? That's crazy.
Hey, I'm here for you. This was meant to be.
Here we are.
You made up my life. You are the one who makes life worth living. So we added some new tunes to our repertoire.
Yes.
I'll see if I can remember them. Soul Train by the not Soul Train, but Soul Shine by the Allman Brothers.
Yes, I love that.
That's going to be a blast. I Put a Spell on You.
Of course.
Which I started with the Tab Bidouin, the guitarist, picked something with a bit of a faster tempo and more of a painful, anguished kind of vocalizations that I just fucking love, since I'm the one who sings it.
Yes.
And we added that. We added The Weight, which we practiced last year, to which I sang harmony for every verse and chorus. That was fun. These guys are so fucking talented.
Right.
They get it all right, man. They get it all right. We added Ophelia from the band. That's coming up. Cripple Creek from the band. That's coming up. And one of the dudes can play the banjo.
Nice.
So I think we're going to bring that in for Cripple Creek.
Bam, 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 bam. A little tickle.
With my juice harp.
Indeed.
So fun, man. Fun.
Too much fun.
Well, actually, no.
Just the right amount.
It's interesting to see the talent at work with their musical specificity for, you know, bridges and changes and, you know, punctuation.
Musical specificity. And
they do it again and again till they get it right. At one point, there was a bridge in one of the songs I was singing, and I said, you know what, guys? I said, I think there's something in that bridge that doesn't sound right to my ear. And the guitar player, who's my son-in-law, so-called, because they're not actually betrothed, he said, that's because I was playing it wrong.
Thanks, Dad.
And I looked at him and I said, I would never use that language. He appreciated it. And then he corrected it. They figured it out. It took 10 minutes. Or maybe 5, but...
Well, that's more time than we spent preparing.
But I told him that, you know, I was singing Hoochie Coochie Man. It's the first time I've ever actually played it with a band that knew exactly how it was supposed to go.
Right.
And I said, it doesn't matter to me. I'll sing it any way they want to fucking play it. It's not that complicated.
True that.
But this version that I printed out, you know, I got a Black Cat Bone, I got a Mojo Tooth.
Yes.
Which I say, I got a Mojo Tooth.
Mm.
And I got John the Conker Root, which I looked up, and it's a well-known, you know, poison, you know, from the Middle Ages even, you know.
Really?
And, I got John the Conker Root, and I'm going to mess with you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And in the version that printed out for me, the way somebody sang it, they said, I got Johnny Conqueror, and I'm going to mess with you. And the thing is that makes no sense. Not that it has to.
No, no, no.
But the fact is that the way that I learned it is that it does actually make exactly sense because of the, I got all sorts of shit. I got a Black Cat Bone. I got a Mojo Dude. I got John the Conqueror. You know,
yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's like I'm a voodoo
I'm gonna
man.
Fuck you up. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's a gypsy woman said to me. You know,
boy child.
He was born. He was born for good luck.
Amen, brother.
So I got a.
What you got?
Oh, I've wondered if I had any good harps over there. I've replaced two of them. I've got a bunch of. I'm trying to figure out minor keys and why, you know, on a like a minor.
Yes.
That I picked up my D harp, and I can make it sound right in the lower end of the harp, but if I go higher, it sounds off to my ear because it's in a minor. And there's a difference between the way they play the minor and the way they play the major. And so there's a whole, you know, easy science for people to understand music, which I don't, as to what that's the third position.
The third
and
position.
What so-called. And there's a different harp you play. So I'm trying to learn that. And because if I sit down to play a tune with a band and they say, well, it's in G sharp, if I don't have that harp, I'm not playing. You know, and it's like, did you make that chord up?
G sharp, I mean,
did you? G sharp, holy shit. And I found the harp for it. I got it. I bought it. It's actually a D flat. I don't know. It's just a lot.
You know, you can't spell sharp without harp. Just say it.
If you want to be sharp, you use your harp. And then no one's going to carp because you've done the right thing the best that you can because you are, in fact, a harpoon man.
Yes.
Stan the man.
Harpoon man.
Harpoon man. Harpoon dagger man.
John the Conqueror.
John Conqueror. I got John the Conqueror. Gonna mess. Of course, all we know, John Conqueror's a hoodlum. I got John Conqueror. He's going to mess with you. Right?
We don't know who
we
that is.
Well, it could be. Maybe there's a guy who's in the bar who's, and he's singing it. His name is John Conqueror. Or it's not, and he thinks it is because he's been drinking and he's, after all, a blues singer.
Or maybe it's it's John the Kangaroo. Maybe he's Australian.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Nope. Not warm.
No?
Not warm.
No. Okay.
What are you doing?
Whatever.
Are you posing?
Kangaroo.
Are you posing?
I pose all the time.
You are.
I'm
are
a
you
poser.
Taping the, are you taping this?
I don't tape. No, man. I just
pose. Wait, you posed in the frame. Let me see if I can do it.
See, I would know, but like I flushed your video a while back, so as far as I know. But later I will see it, so don't make faces at me because I will be upset later.
Don't make face at you. Oh, I just go to sleep with the fucking nightmares. Look, they call me 50-50. Half of me's in the dark. Half of me's in the light. They call me Two-Face.
Alrighty. Do you have a song to sing us out with, or are we done?
I don't know.
Because...
you're timing out. You're timing out.
Hey. No.
I will only say this, and you've heard it before.
Say something amusing.
I find you amusing. Oh, where are you tonight? Why did you leave me here all alone? I searched the world over and thought I found true love. You met another and... you was gone.
Good evening, my friend. Okay, that's it for episode number 210. You can find the show notes at happyhour.fm/210, where you can find links to this John the Conqueror and the John Stewart thing and other things. You can support the show at patreon.com/happyhour. We would love your support. And maybe see you next week.